right, so again, my name is Kristen Quinlan. I am from the Suicide Prevention Resource Center, and I'm going to be talking today about accessing and utilizing suicide-related data from juvenile justice, child welfare, and public behavioral health, some of the opportunities and challenges that we've seen in this area. So as I said, I'm from the Suicide Prevention Resource Center. The Suicide Prevention Resource Center is a training and technical assistance center sponsored by SAMHSA. And so we provide training and technical assistance to states, tribes, jurisdictions, communities, all around really supporting the national strategy for suicide prevention. Our standard disclaimer. So my goal for today is to identify how suicide surveillance data from juvenile justice, child welfare, public behavioral health systems can really enhance our prevention efforts. I also want to talk about some of the needs and opportunities for data collection in these systems. Start with that first question, how can suicide surveillance data from youth-serving systems enhance suicide prevention efforts? We know that youth in juvenile justice, child welfare, and public behavioral health systems really have a number of suicide-related risk factors, and this can range from anything from substance use to poverty to history of trauma, a whole bunch of like contextual factors going on. And so because we know that these youth are at risk, it really makes sense for us to focus our prevention efforts in this area and to understand a little bit more about what's happening with these youth in these systems. We feel like suicide-related surveillance data from these systems can really enhance our prevention planning, motivate leadership and stakeholders for action when necessary, support some directed quality improvement on some of the interventions that are already happening in system, and also help us assess for program impacts, you know, when it's feasible, practical, and makes sense. Some of the key players in suicide prevention in many states are the Garrett Lee Smith Memorial Act grantees, and these are SAMHSA-funded grantees who are really tasked with just coordinating suicide efforts at the state level, particularly for youth ages 10 to 24. And so when SAMHSA funded these grantees, they kind of made it a sort of a requirement that these folks really focus on systems that serve youth at high risk, and so that would be systems like juvenile justice, child welfare, and public behavioral health. But the problem is that we don't know much about collecting, analyzing, or using suicide-related data from these specific systems. So we kind of set out to figure out a little bit more about that. First, we conducted key informant interviews with 9 state administrators in child welfare and juvenile justice. The reason we focused on those two systems instead of public behavioral health as well is because we know a little bit more about what happens in public behavioral health and how the data is collected there. But juvenile justice and child welfare seem to be a little bit more of a black box. We also surveyed all of our Garrett Lee Smith grantees to assess what was already happening in these systems. So, you know, what are Garrett Lee Smith grantees doing in juvenile justice, child welfare, and public behavioral health? What's their access look like to suicide surveillance data in these systems? What are the barriers to that access? What TA needs do they have? And so those are some of the questions that we asked our Garrett Lee Smith grantees. We also reviewed some archival data, including Garrett Lee Smith proposals, so we could determine a little bit more about what they said they would do, and also what I'm calling SPRC's surveillance success stories. I'll have a link to that at the end so you can see what those look like. Those are really just success stories of folks who are kind of doing it right in public behavioral health surveillance data collection. So what we found in terms of existing resources, performance-based standards it's a technical assistance group that supports juvenile justice. And the reason why we consider them to be a resource is because they help juvenile justice set a standard definition for suicide. We were finding that, you'll see in a minute, that that's an issue in that system. Zero Suicide for Public Behavioral Health is also a resource. Zero Suicide is an SPRC initiative that really looks to use data to just create system improvement. So there's a lot of data collected in this particular system, and a lot of states are implementing the Zero Suicide model, so it's another space. The Child Fatality Review Committees in many states are also a nice support. So oftentimes these groups know a little bit about whether or not youth were system involved prior to their death. And as has been mentioned, NVDRS is also a space where we might find some information about youth who are system involved, particularly because the NVDRS does include a question about involuntary commitments 30 days prior, as well as an optional module as well. So what we're going to be doing is putting all of this stuff, all of what we found, in a report that's going to be released probably late summer. But for now, I just want to go through some of the barriers that we found and some of our recommendations. One of the first barriers that we noticed is in juvenile justice and child welfare, we see narrative data is collected a lot. So a lot of times what we know about suicide that's happening in these systems, we know because of incident reports. And incident reports, narrative-based data, are really hard to share. There's a lot of, you know, just very personal information in there. And so in order to get at that information, you'd have to find somebody to go in there and de-identify everything in order for that data to be released. And so that's a huge issue. There's not a lot of extra resources in these systems for doing something like that. So we are some of our sample recommendations, and the full report will have resources on this as well, are to understand what data exists and really have a vision for its use, and also to reach some early agreements on the parameters of data sharing. So things like, you know, who's going to receive the data, in what format, how will it be transmitted, who's going to pay for it, all of that stuff. Another barrier is data quality. There's a lack of standardized definitions, both across systems, so between juvenile justice and child welfare, for example. They don't often share a same definition of what suicide is, but also within a system itself. In juvenile justice, you can find that the probation system has a very different definition than the jail system in how they define suicide, and also, you know, might have different systems for collecting that information as well. So that can lead to some inconsistent reporting and a strong difficulty in tracking youth across time and across systems. Some of our sample recommendations, particularly for our Garrett Lee Smith partners, are to encourage them to collaborate with juvenile justice and child welfare to help them create those consistent definitions and help them understand how they might collect data in a way that would be useful for the prevention field. Also, it's important to enhance, if you can, those existing connections between suicide surveillance groups, so your child welfare or your child death review committees in child welfare or juvenile justice or other youth-serving state systems. Another barrier is the utility of surveillance data to measure impact when your prevention efforts aren't system-wide. So if you're doing, say, work in juvenile justice and you're just focused on a small subset of the system, it doesn't make sense to use the full system data in order to evaluate your prevention efforts. So, you know, we are encouraging folks to really conduct an environmental scan to understand what kinds of efforts are happening in system, and also to consider using smaller targeted program evaluations over system-level data if your efforts are not really system-wide. And finally, this is the biggest thing, is interpreting trends when you're working with small ends. And we see this, you know, it's a huge issue. Suicide is a relatively rare event. If you drill it down to youth and then you drill it down to youth in a specific system, you're down to, like, you know, nothing. You got very, very small numbers, particularly in small states, but it's even an issue for some of our larger states as well. So some of our recommendations that you'll see in our report are to use alternative measures to kind of triangulate findings, you know, to kind of shore up those things with key informant interviews and the like. Also combine data points over time when it's appropriate, when the data are consistently collected, et cetera, in order to, really speak to what's happening and increase the size of those ends. And again, this is the report that I've been kind of citing throughout. It's going to be released in the late summer that will really speak to, you know, a bunch of the points that I've made through this presentation. I also want to put a plug in for a sister report that's kind of coming out around the same time on surveillance strategies for American Indian and Alaska Native communities. We did similar methods for collecting data in that particular community, in those particular communities as well. And I think there are some nice gems in that report, too. The suicide surveillance success stories that I mentioned are also available on our website, which is right there on that slide too, sprc.org. And I think that's about it.